Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll get back to your calls here in a sec. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. How about those Knicks, BT? You like that cat trade? Yet? Where are you at with that now?
Listen, I have always liked it. I wasn't sure if they were going to be a good enough defensive team. Listen, the Knicks are pure joy to watch. They really are. It's so awesome. I mean, they've won 9 straight games. All right. Now, tomorrow's going to be interesting. We were talking about this before the show. The Knicks' schedule has been very, very easy, but you still got to bag the wins. You know, they played Toronto twice in the last month and the Wizards twice in the last week or so and New Orleans twice and Utah last night and, pretty much the dregs of the NBA society. Tomorrow night's going to be a tough matchup at Oklahoma City. But what I love about this team, bigger picture, because we're not going to talk about the Jazz game as much, even though it was fun to watch, like they are proving that they can win multiple ways. When you're down not one point guard and you know, your first or second best player in Brunson, you're down 2 point guards because Deuce was out as well, and you still score 120 points or 119. Like, the Knicks' offense is amazing. And you said this, like, in the first week when I was a little unsure about their identity. Mm-hmm. I'm not running from that. I remember when I said it.
Right.
And you said, best Knicks offense I've ever seen. And it was early. I didn't think it was nuts, but you've been proven right. It's not even close. Like, this Knicks' offense is ridiculous.
Yeah, but now with that comes the other side of the ball. It's the greatest offense that we've seen, but it's nowhere near the best defense that we've ever seen. And that, to me, is where we have issues. Record-wise, I think that they are where we expected them to be. I mean, they're 24-10 now after that sluggish start. They've been tremendous.
I think they're 19-3 in their last 20-something, whatever it is.
So they went on that run that we've been waiting. They've been so good almost that it's like, okay, wake me up.
I know.
Thunder game will be a big one.
Oh, yeah. They play the Thunder again at home after that in like a week or so.
Thunder, we should try to go to that game. Is that during the week?
I might have a St. John. I think I have a St. John's game that
Thunder, night. Thunder 27-5, lead the Western Conference right now. Knicks are third, 24-10. You get the Cavs 29-4 and the Celtics 24-9. But that's how good the Knicks have been, where I think you can clearly see the line, not just in the standings, but where, like, the Celtics, to me, would be the one team that scares me. I'm not really that scared of the Cavs, although I do respect the Cavs in the Eastern Conference. Everybody else I'm not worried about, even with the Sixers coming back to life a little bit. And look, anything could happen in a short series, who knows? But that's how good the Knicks are, BT. It's about the postseason now, getting healthy when Mitch Robinson starts to actually run and come back, maybe another month still, which could help the defense. But I'm not worried about Bridges. I'm not worried about Jalen. I'm not worried about Kat, OG, Josh Hart, none of those guys. I'm worried about defensively how this team is going to do when things tighten up in the postseason.
I'm also a little worried about minutes here, and I don't want to just, start banging the drum and beating the horse here, the anti-minutes police with Tom Thibodeau, who I love, and I know you love Tom Thibodeau as well. Yeah, even last night, they were up by, I mean, the game was over. It was like 2 minutes to go.
They played too many blowouts.
Why is Kat in the game?
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, he's got 31-21. Like, all right, just get him out.
Yeah.
Tell you, sprained an ankle. Remember, Randall got hurt late in that Heat game? That's how we hurt his shoulder.
Yeah,
but
I know. Well,
this Knicks team is really, Sal, that's just a small complaint. This Knicks team is really everything we want. The exact opposite of the 2 hours we spent on the Jets and the Giants. They play hard. They are connected. They are run well. They are deep. They're fun. They're good.
Other than competitive games. They're just really... And Christmas Day was competitive against the Spurs.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been, but it was.
Yeah, all right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, they blow out these teams.
That's
I know they do. I know there's an element to it that is fun, but I like the challenge of it. It's like playing a video game. I never used to play the video games on easy. I would play it on a normal level.
Yeah.
to where I would get beat and get frustrated and get annoyed, but I wanted the challenge of it. This Knicks regular season is starting to become not as challenging.
You say it's boring now? No, is this where we're going? We went from screaming for 20 years about Dolan to it's
not
boring? Is it too good?
Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're not totally wrong. That's why I'm exploring it. I know what you mean.
It's not a bad thing.
Oh, that's why you watch Oklahoma City. Yeah. Now, let me throw this at you. What happens if they, let's say they get punked against OKC?
I'd almost like, not that I'm rooting for that,
yeah,
but I'd like to see them get hit a little bit and then respond back. Kind of like we talked about early on in the season, like I thought the best thing that could happen to them was the Celtics blowing their doors off.
Oh, I'm looking
forward, yeah, I'm looking forward. And like, hey, you're back down to earth. This is the reality. I want to see them get challenged here.
I don't want to see
to see them beat the Thunder because that's a real test.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I don't want to see them smacked so that they can maintain focus. I want to see if this net. Listen, if they lose, it's not the biggest deal in the world because you'll have Mitchell Robinson. It's a bit of a measuring stick. Listen, I've always been of the mindset when it comes to the NBA, Sal, because so many of these games are meaningless and worthless, right? There's really only, from each team's perspective, probably 5 to 8 or 9 games a year that you really have to dial into. Like, all right, not every Knicks Celtics game, but almost every one. Yeah, Knicks Cavs, Knicks OKC. That's right. A big one.
No, this is a big one. This is a good barometer for them in the regular season to see where they're at. The only one before that, was it the Celtics? I mean, we...
On opening night?
Got into the Sixers game. I'm trying to look... I'm just going over the schedule real quick.
There was one that...
Celtics opening night, sure. Indiana after that, Cleveland, okay. They had some early ones. Then after that, BT... I mean, the Sixers, I remember getting into that.
Their schedule's been so easy in December. Yeah, I'm not trying to be, Debbie Downer. I love what I'm saying, but the schedule's been so easy, dude.
A lot of Orlando's in there.
I mean, Washington back-to-back.
Washington's, yeah.
Utah's I know Utah beat them early in the year out in Utah, but Utah stinks. New Orleans has 5 wins. Look at who they played.
Orlando was supposed to be a good barometer. They're not.
They did lose to the Pistons back in early December. They lost in Atlanta when Trey was rolling the dice on our logo.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. They are literally, I looked it up this morning, they are the 4th best odds team to win the title. It's the Celtics, it's the Thunder, it's the Cavs, and it's our Knicks at 10-1. So on paper, Knicks have a shot. Optically, Knicks have a shot. You know, Mitchell come back. Maybe they try to find one more sniper, though I don't even know who it would be. Maybe some veteran gets bought out and he winds up, hey, I want to join this and try to win, like, you know, we've seen before with these NBA teams. The Knicks have a chance to win a championship. That's all there is to it. They have a chance to win it all.
Right. Get me to the postseason. And that is going to be one hell of a ride. Let's hope the Knicks in the postseason. We've had some fun with it last year.
Yeah.
And the last couple years before
we did. It was fun, man.
Come on, man.
It was fun, though.
Diving into each game every night, getting home, put it on, come back, talk about it the next day.
I missed that so much.
We live for those postseason series. Now we've become accustomed to it because it happened 2 years in a row.
This is going
to happen again.
This is going to sound blasphemous. To me, watching a Knick play, I don't mean like, when the Knicks, when you know they're going to get dusted in the first round, you know, like when they played the Nets years ago, the whole Fugazi thing with Tim Donald. I don't mean that. Like, I mean a real Knicks team. I'd rather watch a real Knicks team than a Yankee playoff game. Like, the Knick playoff game for a real Knick team, I don't think that anything gets me going quite like that.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Especially if you compare the Yankees, because the Yankees' matchups were favorable, where you never really felt that they were threatened by Kansas City or Cleveland. I know what you mean just overall, but I'm talking, you know, the Knicks and the Yankees have won their championship, even though it's 2009. Still, it's in recent years.
Yeah.
The Knicks, it's been so long, and it's been so long since we've had the consistent playoff battles.
Yeah.
This is now year 3 with the first real chance that this team could be a championship team. I cannot wait for the postseason.
Well, then, me too. But don't you think you're doing a little bit of a disservice? And I know why you're doing it. Trust me, I do. And I'm not sitting there like engaged, even though I'm watching. I'm not every possession. They're beating the crap out of these teams. I get it. But don't you think maybe we are running the risk of not enjoying what they're giving us?
Maybe.
I mean, for 20 years we complained about Isaiah and Eddie Curry and Stephon Marbury and, you know, Hornacek and, Fizdale and get rid of Dolan and sell the team. We're not going to enjoy it because it's too easy?
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that for me personally, I like to see a little more competitive game.
I think I'll take the blowouts for now.
It's tough watching it. Honestly, it's tough to me to watch a game that you're up 20 at the end of the first quarter.
Right? I know. It's also tougher when they're going to win 23 to 25 games and draft
season.
8 like they always do.
Still football season. Maybe when that's over, then a little different story.
Did you watch the Johnnies on New Year's Day, New Year's Eve?
No, come on.
You watch the Johnnies?
No, I'm not. I'm not there yet.
You know, just the tone The come on.
Just I'm sorry.
Disrespectful.
About that, yeah. No, I mean.
I didn't make it.
Johnny's got to earn it.
Did you watch the Johnnies? Come on.
Kick that way.
Johnnies, come on.
Who they play? Who they lose
Creighton,
to?
Creighton, tough one. Yeah, tough one. I'm just asking. I don't need to break down the game.
You going to get to tournament?
Oh, yeah. I don't need to break down. Just seeing if you get a check in late like you did last year.
I'll get into it in a little bit. Let's get back to the close. When it matters, I'll jump right in. We're talking Pete Alonso and the Jets. Brandon is in Manalapan. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, fellas. How's it going? First time, long time. BT, I'm a big fan of Unkillable. I tune in every episode.
I appreciate
that, man.
That's
cool today. Look at you rolling with the podcast.
Pod's taking off. Coming for the Rico. That's next. Nah, I'm just kidding. Thanks, buddy.
I'm gonna skip the Alonso talk because you guys have covered everything on it. It's a waste of time. But, BT, I hate the idea of the Jets interviewing head coaches before they bring in a GM. However, I'm willing to make the exception with Mike Vrabel. So, Woody, if you're listening, Brick Johnson, if you're listening, get Mike Vrabel into this building as soon as possible, lock the doors, hand him a blank check, let him pick the years, and let him pick his GM, and let him run a football program, him build a football program, and get out of the way.
That's what I want. Now, thanks for the call there, B. Listen, I would say this. I think it's easy to knock the order, which is unconventional by most conventional standards. You know, let's get the GM in here, then hire the coach, but... And I know it's easy to pile on the Jets. Here they go again, doing it backwards. And I get it, and that bothered me too. But you know, the more I thought about it, like you know, it as long as they're just collecting information, that's not a bad thing. Like if they hired somebody
first
before the GM, then I'm like, maybe they're just you know doing their due diligence, collecting the information. Buttoning up a little stuff, you know, buttoning up what they need to button up and then present that to the GM or potential GMs and let them make the decision, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm in love with Vrabel as much as you.
I love him. He's number one for me, not even close.
Yeah, I mean, I like Flores a lot.
I love Vrabel.
How about Kingsbury?
I mean, you know, you could just tell by my reaction. You know,
why though?
I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't want him, but
why wouldn't you want an offensive?
Because I don't know if he's a great leader of men. That's why.
Why wouldn't you want an offensive minded head coach, especially his second go around?
Yep.
I've always loved those guys that failed the first time with great potential. Learned.
Yep.
Now he's working his way back up.
I get it.
I think he'd be, and I don't even like Kingsbury. I hated the hire initially in Arizona.
Yeah.
But now to me might be the time where I hire. Give him a chance to be a you know second time head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, and they did that with Gase, but Gase didn't sit out, and he didn't have time to you know a lot of times you got to learn from him. And Rex didn't have that in Buffalo. No, I'm not against him conceptually. Like okay, there's
you'd
some
be okay with it.
I'd be okay. I wouldn't be thrilled.
Don't
but again,
you think Vrabel's got a little bit of
what?
Again, I'm not saying that he's solid, but he's got a little bit of solid in him.
No way. No.
What do you mean, leader of men, defensive guy?
Yeah, but he's actually done it. Everything that we said about Salah was hoping that he was a true leader of men. He's never been a head coach before he came here.
But what has he done exactly?
What has he done? Vrabel?
Yes.
I'll tell you.
I'm going to look. Seriously, I want to look.
I'm going to tell you. I got you.
I remember
he went to the playoffs three times with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Yeah, but okay, so what? Like,
really, so what?
But he's not as established. Like, we make it sound like Mike Vrabel has accomplished this great feat. I don't really think that
he
has.
I think Mike Vrabel's an ass kicker, but I think he's also an ass kicker who's calculated and who knows the rule book like Belichick. He's exploited things, special team stuff, and you guys know what I'm talking about if you know. If not, go check it out. Like, he's very dialed into every little bylaw in the rule book. Like, he's a savant. And he is a leader of men. You have to have that.
I get it, but I'd like to have that with an offensive mind. 9-7, 9-7, 11-5, 12-5, 7-10, 6-11, fired.
I understand. Now, part of the reason he was fired, okay, is because when the Patriots put him in there, whether it's their Hall of Fame or their Ring of Honor, whatever they do, it was on the Titans off week, okay? And he went and he sat in Kraft's suite, and that bothered the Tennessee Titans, which I understand. Hey, you're our employee.
Yeah,
what the hell are you doing? I mean, I get it, but I don't. But I'm a little petty, but I get it to an extent.
They're all competitors, though. Like,
I get that. Yeah. I get that. Oh, so let me ask you this. Who's the number one target for... Who's the number one coaching available? You know what I mean?
I'm not saying I wouldn't be okay with Vrabel. I wouldn't go nuts to be like, you hired the wrong guy. I'm fine with him. I just don't think he's a sure thing. I like the idea of Gruden. I mentioned Flores.
You think Gruden's a sure thing? Was it a sure thing with the Raiders?
No, but at least I can say, well, he won a Super Bowl.
Okay, but I understand. But how long ago was it?
He had two winning seasons. You know, well, he had more than two winning seasons, but two seasons where he won over 10 games. I get it, and you're right about the leader of men. You would think no nonsense.
The other thing, too, that I love about Vrabel, and that's why I always bring this up, like, you know, when I say how, what do you want, 11 games, 12 games, with Ryan Tannehill, now I know Derrick Henry was obviously the juice of the offense here, but, like, and I looked this up, and I did this on one of the pods, you know, mm-hmm. a couple of people have called about the pod, check it out, it's up there, YouTube, WFAN, you know, Apple, Spotify, mm-hmm. all the stuff where you get your Odyssey pods. And one thing that I love about it, it's not like he won because, and this is not to denigrate Andy Reid or anybody that wins based on offense, but he's got a little Harbaugh in him. Like, even if you don't have a pretty offense and score 30 points, you're not going to commit a lot of penalties. You're not going to cough up the ball. You can score 20 points and squeeze out some wins. Like, I just think he's the perfect guy to rectify the sloppiness and the lack of engagement.
I could see that. And maybe part of my issue is where I like that and respect that. I feel like there is a, I don't want to say ceiling necessarily, but I feel like I know what I'm getting. Whereas Kingsbury, to me, his ceiling might be higher.
And the floor could be a lot lower, man. Yeah, I don't want to take that chance anymore.
Well, that's
what
I was going to ask you then. I'm glad you said that. So then would you consider Vrabel a safe choice?
I would consider him both safe and a home run. And I know what you mean. Like, safe, Jared. See, when I hear safe,
because the floor is not going to be Sala bad.
Safe wild card.
Or,
like, safe
or
is
Gase
eventually,
bad.
Yeah, respectable, competitive.
With the potential to be more, but
yes.
You're pretty set.
See, but safe to me has a negative connotation. That's a safe hire. Eh, you didn't really put yourself out there. Yeah, you're not going to embarrass the company, but not a star. Like, I don't want, like,
you don't think Flores is a leader of men?
I think he's safe. I think he's safer.
Flores?
Yeah, I think he's safe. He is a leader of men. I think he's a safe hire because I do think he would do it now. The legal, I don't care about that,
but
I think he would be a safe hire and a good hire. I think Vrabel is a safe hire and a great hire. Not many guys who are safe can you say that they're great. Because, again, it's the negative connotation. Like, there's a ceiling. Like, safe.
Like, Kingsbury to me is
to
not...
To me, a safe is a seven. Dating a seven.
Yeah,
she's a seven.
Well.
I mean, I want an eight or a nine or a ten.
Wow. No. I mean, sometimes you got to, you
know... Depends what time it is.
Yeah. So you don't...
2:10 in the morning, we'll take the seven.
So you don't like this... You don't like the safe... I don't think it's negative. I just think that, like, for me, Kingsbury is anything but a safe hire. It could totally blow up in your face.
Uh-huh.
But that could be the 9 or the 10.
It could be. It could be. But the Jets don't have that luxury. Unless they're, and I would say football people, if they had any in the building, if their inner conviction was, hey, man, it might not be as safe as Vrabel or what they want, but this is what we believe and this is why, then I would trust them.
Yeah.
But how the hell do you trust the Jets?
I want Dimitroff because I know him. I trust him. I think he's great. I think he would be great here.
And don't you think he would want Vrabel?
Well, I would trust, probably. I love that combination.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I'd be okay
I'd take
with
that right now.
Yeah.
In a second.
Yeah. I also think both probably safe, but I don't think in a negative way.
BT and Sal back on the fam. We'll continue with your calls. 888-808-1019. What kind of steaks did we have? Because I keep forgetting.
Oh, my God. Well, we had a tomahawk.
So now which one was that?
That was basically the thing that Fred Flintstone would basically throw over his back and walk around town with. That massive bone that I saw on my Instagram account.
That's because there were two that were there.
The big one.
We went to Rail Steakhouse for the BT and Sal Christmas, whatever you want to say. We had Casillas there, Hoff there, Frank the chef joined. It was phenomenal time. I really had a great night
Me
out
too.
With you guys. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was
just
a blast.
Talking shop and talking football with Casillas. He's nuts. What a good dude. But the food was so good. And I'm normally a filet guy.
Yeah.
But the one steak had filet on one side and then like what, a strip on the other. That was not the
No, the tomahawk was
I keep thinking T-bone in my head, but it's tomahawk.
No, it's definitely tomahawk.
Okay.
And I've had a tomahawk or two before. This was the biggest one I've ever seen. It was massive. It was such a good night. And you're right, Casillas is wild.
Yeah,
isn't he?
He's a good dude.
He's a great dude. He fit right in. We had an awesome time.
Yeah.
And although I got to tell you, there's a couple things we got to air out here.
Mm.
I know who not to be around in a time of an emergency. You and Huff.
Oh, I know. Well,
and evidently Casillas as well.
Yeah, I mean, some guy slipped on the floor and BT went to his rescue like he was trying to be a hero.
I thought the guy had... Honestly,
you didn't have time to change into your cape and outfit in the telephone booth.
Well, I did it to like look good. That was my instinct. I thought the guy was having a heart attack. He just dropped... Now, first of all, you're undersell. The guy dropped like a ton of bricks.
He slipped and fell on his rear
but
end.
But I didn't see... Because it was to my back. He was going to the bathroom. Remember, you were to my left.
I did see it.
I was looking at Huff, you can see peripherally out of your right eye. I'm looking at Huff and so I don't see it.
Huff and I were like, can you pass the hash browns,
please?
Yeah,
I know.
BT Jones.
All I hear is thwack, and I hear, ugh. And then, like, the poor guy's wife, like, she tries to get up. So, no, I did spray. I hadn't moved that fast in years,
Yeah,
man.
You did get up pretty good. I was worried about you hurting your back. Then I'm like, Casillas, can you help him out there?
Well, then when I tried to help him up, I did remember. I'm like, my shoulder is really jacked up because I was a small guy. I'm like, gee, I got to have surgery.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah, I'm going to have surgery on my shoulder. You guys did nothing. Huff had his fourth
we were
Manhattan.
Eating.
And we clapped. Yeah, we were eating.
You clapped when I said that, you only clapped when I was like, all right, let's give it up for John.
Okay, so we clapped. We gave it. Yeah. Listen, I saw the whole thing.
You backed me up. Wow, what a clap.
I saw the whole thing, so I knew he fell, and I just was going to take out my phone and start videotaping.
You're the problem. That's the problem with society. Non-doers like you.
And then how about the clowns that were sitting behind us?
Yeah, what was going on with them?
Yeah, they
famous people, right?
I guess. One of the actors what was he in, Huff?
He was in The Wire, all five seasons of The Wire.
It was a great show,
The Wire. He was in all five seasons of The Wire?
Yeah, he was a main character.
Dominic something, whatever. And then they were like signing the table. Like, they were name dropping. Yeah. The poor young waiter was like, I don't know who those guys were.
She was a little
remember this young kid?
Oh, they were the young, we had the waitress, the young.
Maybe
the young,
it was a busboy, whatever.
Who's the Maris guy. Remember I was talking to him?
Yeah, of course.
He's unfriendly. He's very disappointed in the tip that they left there.
Yeah, which is disappointing.
I mean, he seems very paltry.
Do you know who we are, signing the thing, and then they leave a bad tip? But overall, that wasn't our problem. We had a great night.
Oh, no, we left again. You know, our tip was through the roof, and our food was awesome. I don't really know about the other table. Place was sick, though. You guys didn't even budge. Asses.
I'm not sitting there enjoying
what
the meal.
What if I fell? Would you have come over to help me?
I guess. I mean,
definitely would have taken the camera at that point.
That I would almost expect. That I can get behind. That's funny.
Right.
Because that's show content. That's all
different,
look at
BT but a stranger.
On the floor, an idiot.
Like, I don't know. It's a weird spot. Like,
yeah. What if it was a woman? What if it was an older woman?
Maybe different story.
Okay, but it shouldn't be. It's a human being.
I didn't know what happened. It all happened so fast. The guy got up.
Well,
your brain
didn't process quickly enough. That's why I didn't know what happened.
Right. I was really thinking about what I was getting for dessert or something.
This guy.
You popped up.
Yeah, I did.
That massive carrot cake.
Oh, my God.
Carrot cake was huge. I didn't have any, though.
Butter cake is the best.
I got to get back in a routine, man. Yeah. I just can't do anything on my shoulder now. I feel awful.
No. This is it for me.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah. Okay.
I know. I'm going to say it one more time and hold myself accountable.
Maybe it's going to work this year.
I have to.
This is it.
This is it.
It's the end of the road.
There's no more. I'll get to the gym next week or next month to change it up. It starts now. Couldn't start yesterday because the New Year's gathering at a neighbor's house. And I came home, had a little cake. I'm so disgusted with myself. Cake that was left over from my wife. She wanted the cake in the house.
What kind of cake was it,
dude? Uncle Giuseppe's.
What is that?
You ever go there?
No. I never even heard of it. What is it?
This is a must do. There's one in Morristown.
Oh, Jersey. Not far from us?
They're all over the place. I think they're all on Long Island. Are you familiar with it, Uncle Giuseppe's?
No.
Dude,
no idea.
It is, when I tell you it's a must.
Okay.
Must go to. The Italian pastries. Oh. You have to go there.
What kind of cake was it, though?
This is what my wife, like, chocolate icing, yellow
chocolate.
Cake with chocolate fudge.
That's money. I mean, it's simple, but it's money.
Got some sprinkles on it, too.
Oh.
It is so good. Mouth-watering good. We had it for a birthday, and then we went back for a second. It was so good. Anyway, and then that was left over yesterday, so I was like, all right, what the hell? It's the last day I'm home.
Yeah, justify it.
Yeah, discuss it with myself. But I'll get back to the gym. But, yeah, we had a great night at Rails. And then
awesome
we had,
night.
You have to go to Uncle Jim. Matter of fact, we should take a road trip there and just go together.
To get cake?
Dude, no, they have everything. It's like the Italian.
I'm not taking a road trip to get cake with you, dude.
Well,
it's not just cake, it's everything. Oh, by the way, the next
store, bakery, all of it.
Oh, they got the whole spiel? That's different.
Yeah.
A restaurant, too, or no?
That
it sounds like
Calandra's.
A little bit. Like,
I've
similar.
Heard of that.
Not
that's
far
the bakery
from us.
Near, yeah, okay.
Bakery, restaurant, if it's a similar setup, they I've never been, more than one.
Went there once, but it was closed on like a Memorial Day holiday. I was going to go there. But no, you
went there, it was closed?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, what the hell is this? We're new to the neighborhood. That was a recommendation.
It's a good place. Yeah, it's good.
But
it's
Uncle
good.
Giuseppe's, you have to check it. Okay. Anyway, all right. Let's get back to the phones here. Right. And like to your credit, BT, yes. What? You were Superman going out there trying to save
credit. No. See, you read this. I'm not looking for credit.
Oh.
I'm wondering why you guys didn't do anything.
You got up so fast, even if I wanted to help, I couldn't.
All right. Okay.
You know, by the way, it wasn't just Hoff and I. What? It was you, Hoff, me, Casillas, and Frank. You were the only one who got up and helped.
Huh. I mean, Frank was a little starstruck with Casillas, which I could get. He's hanging on every story, and we got some great ones. And in Casillas' defense, his back was truly 100% turned.
Hoff and I were looking straight at the guy.
Yeah, he didn't even blink.
As he fell. I was just wondering what
funny.
Happened.
It's not a good look, though, for you guys. It does make me wonder.
Funny. He just went down out of nowhere.
It's not a good look for you guys.
I was processing, I hope nobody gets sued here. I don't want this to be, I love this place. Let's go under. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Andrew is calling from Patterson. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you, Andrew?
Hey. So I had a point regarding about the Yankees offseason. I have an idea what they could do this offseason, and then I have another point about next offseason.
Go for it.
So, BT, I know I was on the same fence as you when it came to Christian Walker. I thought his market was exactly what he was going to get, which is 20 mil.
I thought he was going to get more than that. I thought he was going to get a couple of million more. But anyway, keep going. It was lower than I thought, which is why I was even more bothered by it. But continue.
Yeah, and I thought the same thing, but I do see what the Yankees are doing for next offseason, but I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Another guy I would like, I don't think the Yankees need another power hitter. I think they have plenty of power. It's a matter of like defense, which is what kind of bothered them in the World Series, because to me, if they didn't make defensive blunders even in Game 1 and as well as Game 5, they would have been going back to L.A. with a 3-2 lead.
Yeah, they still weren't going to win, but yeah, it would have been a deeper series. Dodgers were better. Keep going. So go ahead.
I would look at someone like Hyun-Soo Kim from the Padres. Something that Glaber was bad at was defense and base running.
Yes.
And
yes.
Kim, he's not a flashy name, but he's someone who's not going to come at a high price. So it's like low risk, high reward.
Then you keep Jazz at third, though. And thank you for the call, Andrew. I don't love Jazz at third. You do?
I don't either, but a deeper dive through the eye test, he was fine.
He's not bad.
He was fine.
He's not as good as Bregman or Arenado.
No, very few are better than either one of those. I mean, they're all timers, you know, for sure. They're defending. I think that the analytics are a little more kind to Jazz at third base than I think people recollect, but he's a natural second baseman, and I'm motivated to get him back to second base.
Yeah, I think the Yankees, that's why I like Bregman. To the caller's point, now you could minimize Stanton, or we both can. I don't love Stanton as a player or the fit, but now without Soto especially, you look at the power that they have. They still have Judge, and they still do have Stanton. You're going to have some power with Bellinger.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, who knows, with Goldschmidt at this particular point, but Bregman, to me, is a better fit with the Yankees than Mets, because the Mets need an impact power bat to complement Soto. The Yankees don't need that. They need a good bat that can lengthen out the lineup, which I think Bregman is. A proven bat in the postseason, which he is. And a good glove at third base. Susan was on with us. She talked about being third base being the most important piece. I think the Yankees are going to get Bregman. I have that feeling.
You do?
I think
they're going to spend for it.
I think they know they need one more big move to complete the offseason, and that's the one. Well, where is the other big move? Where's the big move that they made? Fried was a big one.
Yep.
Goldschmidt, no. Bellinger, but like not big.
I wouldn't say big. Yeah, big. Okay. Good move.
Williams,
big.
Good, but not big. They're one big move still.
I just hope it's not Santander. I have said that I just don't want him, man.
What are you going to do with
him? He's a strikeout machine. He's not a good fielder. He can't run.
Well, where would you play him now anyway?
I think that if they got him, they might mess around and put him in left.
And do what with Dominguez? Have him in the minors?
In center. Oh, what am I saying? I'm sorry. With Bellinger.
Well, now with
center, Judge back to
and
right.
Goldschmidt at first, there's no avenue with first base.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't want Santander. And I don't think the Yankees are very interested in him.
Same thing. Mets fan. Oh, if you don't get Pete, bring back Santander. Yeah. Bring in Santander. Where? Santander. No. I don't like him
as a
player.
Rizzo?
Yeah. No, I don't. Rizzo, what are you, out of your mind? Come on now. Matt is calling from Morristown. What's up, Matt?
So Giuseppe Zamorristown literally has a Sinatra impersonator, basically, that walks through the aisles and sings on site. in like during the holidays, they'll sing like Italian music and Christmas music. He's walking around the store singing.
Dude, it's an experience. I'm shocked actually that you've never been there.
Well, I didn't grow up there. You know, I've only been there 5 years. So if I grew up around there, I would be.
My wife discovered it in Long Island, and then we looked up when we were moving that there was one in Jersey. Morristown's very Italian.
Morristown's
right?
great. Yeah. I don't know about the demographic. I don't know about that.
A week budget for Giuseppe's.
What is it?
A week. Yeah.
Oh, it's expensive.
It's like, somehow I'm spending $250 there a week. It's crazy. I'm like cheese and cakes.
We don't. And thank you for the call, Matt. We don't. Yeah, exactly. We don't shop there often.
Yeah.
But
really?
I wish we did. Yeah, like it's very expensive, but it's worth it. Like if you need any kind of thing that you could think of,
yeah.
Italian especially.
You know what I love getting? Like the mozzarella that's in that wet, like the big bowl that's in the... Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, all that. I was in there chopping for that cake to surprise my wife.
Again.
I'm seeing everything, man. These pistachio shortbread cookies. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, I want food over this. I want food.
Yeah, well, I was at the bakery at that particular... I want the food, too. I'm fine with that. No, I'm good. I'm telling you. Don't sleep on Uncle Giuseppe's. Nick is in Bayonne. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up, guys? Nick. Welcome back.
Thanks, Nick. What's up?
Before I ask my question, good call, Sal, with Uncle Giuseppe's. That's money.
Oh,
that's
man,
money.
So good.
BT, I'm surprised. Brooklyn guys, I'm a Brooklyn guy. You got to know that stuff. They got the fresh schmutz. They got the prosciutto there. They got the cutlets. They got it all there.
Yeah. You get lost in there, man. You get lost, and you gain about 30 pounds.
All right, my question is, we were talking Jets before. I wanted to hear your three options. Of course, I want Vrabel, one, into Gruden, into Flores, in case Vrabel is gone. I wanted to hear what you guys got.
So, meaning Vrabel is not hired. Vrabel goes somewhere else?
If Vrabel's off the table.
I would say... I don't want Rex, so let me spare you that. I don't want Rex anywhere on my list here. Aaron Glenn would probably be third.
Who did he say? Vrabel, Flores, and who?
He's saying Vrabel's off the list. All so right. At that point, I would say give me either Flores or Gruden because I need an established... listen, okay, my answer would be... See, it's not perfect, which is why I'm stumbling here. I want Vrabel. I mean, I think I've said Vrabel, and I've been on this Vrabel train before anybody. I mean, not that I was the only one who knew that he was available, but I mean, I have been screaming for Vrabel for months. I mean, I want Vrabel. If I can't get Vrabel, I don't think anything excites me in terms of like a home run. But if it's Flores, I'd be interested. If it's Gruden, I'd be intrigued. And if it's Aaron Glenn, I'd be, and you know, even Kingsbury with a veteran GM.
Yeah,
there's other things that could get me going a little bit, but I want Vrabel.
Here's what I wanted initially. I wanted the hire to eliminate any doubt in what was going to be taking place with this franchise. A no doubt about it, no nonsense program builder. I don't know.
That's a good way to summarize it, by the way.
I that's what I wanted.
I got you.
I don't know if that hire is out there. Harbaugh was the guy we yelled and screamed about it for years. The idiot Bears didn't want him. The Jets didn't go that way. Belichick would have been that guy to me. Obviously, the Jets didn't want him. While I would be intrigued, certainly by Vrabel and Flores and even Gruden and Kingsbury... And some others, like even Aaron Glenn, like there are parts of a lot of these names that I could be like, okay, but it always brings me back to where they're at right now as an organization. And I think they need a no doubt about it guy. So who's the closest to that? In my mind, it's Gruden because I've seen him do it. Now I know where, even with him, there are still question marks because of what happened with the Raiders, because of, you know, where we are at his age and all that stuff, whatever. So there's still question marks there. Maybe Vrabel, maybe Flores probably fit those bills better than anybody else. Those are probably the top three guys.
Do you think they're serious about Rex?
I would not want Rex under.
But do you think they are?
Yeah, I do.
So do I.
Yeah, I do. I do.
So
I do think they're serious. He's not a program builder. Could they win with Rex for a year or two? Maybe. I'd much rather, I would go in any direction but Rex. Rex would have been the hire to me in season. Woody missed a big opportunity. If you were going to fire Saleh, which they did, make the splash by just bringing Rex into the building now instead of Ulbrich, who is, I don't think I've ever seen more overmatched attempt at it being an interim head coach than Olbrich. All due respect, he.
Yeah.
I don't even know how he gets a coordinator job after that. He's been that bad. And you go, oh, this guy has gotten exposed. He could be a fine coordinator, I'm sure, somewhere
else.
Well,
yeah. I mean, the way he gets the D.C. job again is people say, oh, yeah, he was a great D.C. or at least a really good D.C. Really, really, really good 2 years ago. And, you know, this year, obviously, wacky circumstances. No, as a head coach, he's also walking that tightrope of, like, screw it, I know I'm gone, and there's no way in hell I'm kicking a field goal, I'm going for everything. He's been playing that game for a month.
Dude, when he opens his mouth, he embarrasses himself.
Yeah, it's,
talking about like Hassan Reddick. Did you hear them play that on the morning show today?
I know. I saw it as a headline about, he works hard.
He was talking,
what
did he say about Reddick? He basically said, oh, he's a selfless player, and he does all this and does all that, and this guy is
an
honor to be around him. When you say that, it takes away from saying it's an honor to be around Aaron Rodgers, which is legit. Rodgers is a Super Bowl winner, four-time MVP, one of the great quarterbacks ever. Yeah. You say the same thing about Reddick. Oh, it's an honor to be around him. The guy held out. He was as selfish as you could be. I'm not trying to minimize Reddick, but come on.
Well, he should. He's done nothing as a player. He's literally done zip.
God.
He's been awful.
Olbrich is just an embarrassment. Anyway, what was the point? The point is that
you're getting me mad again. Yeah. I didn't think that was the point, though.
There are good hires to be made out there. I don't think there is a clear-cut, no doubt, home run guy, the way that I felt about Belichick, Harbaugh, and so on for the Jets. I think any of these guys would be okay.
And you know who it is.
Yep.
It's my boy Vrabel.
Yeah, you've been saying that before anybody else. BT is Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll finish up on the phones when we come back.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Josh is in Smithtown. What's up, Josh?
Hey, you know, if Rogers was in studio and shook Sal's hand, I don't think Sal would ever wash again. you know, I understand you like the guy, but
thank you for the call, Josh. We appreciate you to check it in. I probably would wash my hand. But I'd like the opportunity to talk to Rogers. I think he's fascinating. I know Boomer and Gio have done it a couple of times, so I think that's great for the station. Cool for those guys. I'd love to be able to talk to him myself, but would you ever wash your hands again if you got to meet Rogers?
Yeah, man. Oh. Absolutely.
What about Donnie? Donnie Baseball.
I'll give him a day. I'll take those germs to the bank, baby.
That was great. All right,
BT. Anything for Donnie.
Yeah, I know.
Anything.
We got to get him in studio. I've been on this kick of trying now to get cards from my childhood signed. Like, my favorite was after I met Jeffries at that QBC.
Yeah, I remember that. About a month or so ago, right? 2 months ago.
Right, so I got him to sign my future star card, 89 tops. I want a Mattingly 84 tops. That rookie, you know, the famous card signed. There's a couple others. But anyway, I'd love to talk to Mattingly. We tried to get him in studio last year. Just didn't line up, I guess. But you've had him, you said, before? You've interviewed him?
Yes, yeah. And by the way, I saw him, I have, I think twice. And I saw him when Ricky died, which you and I didn't get a chance to speak about, right? Ricky Henderson.
No. Did we text about
it? We did, but we didn't, not on the air.
Maybe. Okay.
And Mattingly was on the MLB Network along with Dave Stewart, who obviously played with Ricky in Oakland, and I think maybe even Toronto too, but certainly Oakland. And Mattingly chimed in for a good couple of minutes talking about Ricky as a teammate, and obviously Ricky is a force. It was just, it was amazing.
Sad. And the one note too that you mentioned, the Mike Schmidt doc, I saw that.
How good was it?
It was phenomenal. Told you. Also, I learned something there. I didn't realize the struggles that Schmidt had in the postseason and the relationship between the Philadelphia Philly fans and Mike Schmidt.
Nope.
We look at Schmidt, and I did growing up, like, oh, the greatest third baseman of all time, Hall of Famer, legend. You watch that, and it made me think a lot about Aaron Judge and the fact that it took Schmidt a while before he got going in the postseason. And then even after he had a successful postseason where they won the World Series, even after that, there was some discourse between the fans and him. Maybe he took it too seriously. The fans were booing him for whatever reason. But there is still hope for Aaron Judge in the postseason. We always say, like, oh, Judge got to get it done this year. Even the greats of all time, including Mike Schmidt, have struggled in the postseason before. So it's not a new thing.
Yeah, it's not. And I've given you numbers. Granted, small samples, whether it's Willie Mays or Ted Williams, OPS, things over the World Series. Again, very small samples for both men. Smaller for Ted Williams than Willie, but still not large for Willie. It's baseball. And it's... It is very it's very uneven. It's very unpredictable. I don't want to sound too cliche here, but it's, you know, I know that we want to use it as an ultimate barometer for greatness, and sometimes it's going to tilt the needle in somebody's favor if it's close.
Yeah, right.
You know, I get it. Like, if one guy's an October beast and the other guy's an October zero, and they both have comparable careers, well, you know, who are you going to go with? Understood, the former, not the latter. But yeah, I mean, the thing about Schmidt, and I told you that before we went on vacation. like, first of all, third base, it's got the fewest great players in the history of baseball, even more so than catcher. Like, you think about catcher, you could say, you know, Yogi, Piazza, Johnny Bench, Dickey, like, Pudge,
Campanella, you go
Campanella,
back,
Campy, who had won two MVPs. Yeah. But, like, you think about third base. I mean, all right, so you got Schmidt, you got George Brett, you got Eddie Matthews. Like, it's very, very short list.
Brooks Robinson,
as a defender, not really as a hitter. Okay, Frank Robinson is a hitter, not Brooks is a hitter. So, Schmidt is a very interesting case study, and he had, that's why I knew you'd love it. I didn't know that it was such a rough relate. I knew it was rough. I didn't know it was that rough.
He wore it. Also, I think it's not only like can fans, you and I, learn from watching that. I think current players, if they sat down and took the time to watch that, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, watch that hour, whatever it is, 40 minutes on MLB Network, wherever you could find it now, they will learn something on Schmidt basically acknowledging how he didn't handle the booze and the pressure the right way. That's a real thing that we deal with it all the time with Lindor, with Judge in this market, much like Philly. You know, Mike Schmidt should be exhibit A. He basically is giving you the answers to the test. You may not want to deal with it. You may not know when you're younger, but if you actually watch that, you'll learn how to deal with it the right way. The majority of the time watching that, I was like, these idiot Philly fans, I can't believe that they're treating him like that. And then at the end, I finally got it and said, oh, you know what? Schmidt wasn't handling it the right way.
It was really, really good.
Yeah, it was a great documentary.
It was good.
All right, before we get back to the calls here, I had Hoff pull something that I just saw on social media. Check this out. So this is, I guess, I saw it on Talking Giants' social media account. This is a new commercial that Saquon Barkley, I guess, is featured in BT. Mm. Check this out.
I heard some of you were having trouble sleeping, so I wrote you a lullaby. Rock-a-bye, baby, awaken your bed. As the thought of 2000 swirls in your head. Ooh. It sure is tough to lose sleep over football. Not for me, though. Good night to you all.
And he's got some kind of sleeping mask. I think that's what the company is that he's endorsing. But that
hello,
is...
Mr. Mara. I'm not going to be able to sleep. Rock-a-bye, baby. What movie is that from? Rock-a-bye, baby.
I don't remember.
Come on. What? New Jack.
I don't think I've ever seen that. New Jack City?
What?
Yeah, I was too afraid. I'm too young at the time.
All right, just
is it violent?
That's unbelievable.
Have you watched Squid Games, by the way? You get into that?
No.
Oh, Hoff, you watch Squid Games?
Don't change
this
the subject.
Sucks. What?
He's never seen New Jack.
I'm sorry. I haven't seen it either, to be honest.
All right, let's make a deal. I'll watch New Jack. You watch Squid Games.
Well, I mean, I guess. But so when somebody says, am I my brother's keeper? You don't know what that means? You don't get the reference? Am I my brother's keeper?
No, I feel like that's from the song Regulate from Warren G.
Nah, I like Warren G. Okay.
New Jack City, though, is not like like The Godfather.
What a cultural.
No, The Godfather.
No, it's not like
New
like
Jack
the Godfather.
City is not like on that list of like, oh, I have to see top 10.
I should have seen
well,
that.
Well, that's objective, but it's New Jack Teak.
Yeah.
This
what year did it come out, though?
Teaky just walked in.
What year did New Jack City come out?
Teaky hasn't seen New Jack either, probably. Have you? Well, he has.
Come on. You down with Teaky?
I don't know. I mean, I'd ask him, so did you see this movie? No, I didn't see that. Who knows?
What year, Hoff, can you look that up? What year did New Jack City come out?
91?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like 10 years old, 11 years old.
Did you see Star Wars?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a little different genre.
Well, but it's earlier. Star Wars came out in the 70s.
Yeah, no, I got to watch
it. Did you see
it.
Rocky?
You're right. That is
did you see E.T.?
Yes, I know.
Okay.
But again, all those
just
movies are family-friendly, kid-friendly.
You didn't see New Jack City.
No.
That's nothing
I've
else.
Seen Above the Rim.
The show this way.
I've seen Above
the Rim.
Yeah, that doesn't count. I'll watch New Jack City. What the hell was the point of this? I don't remember.
No.
And we'll be back tomorrow. 4 hours to talk about it then. Anyway,
you're going to watch it tonight?
You should watch Squid Games. Yeah, maybe I'll go home and watch it tonight.
What channel is it? I don't even know where to watch Squid Games. What is it on Netflix?
It's on a stream? We're talking about Barkley, Rock-a-bye Baby. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Rock-a-bye Baby.
We'll get more into him tomorrow and his decision not to play on Sunday, saving Mr. Mara some pain, at least for the day. All right. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back again tomorrow, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki. They're coming up next.